Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Tom Lewis.
And we work with the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, the topic is solar grazing or agrivoltaics. And we will be interviewing Patrick Gossage with First Green Energy and Chair of Agrivoltaics Canada.
So, Patrick, tell us a little bit about your background and the work you're doing at First Green Energy.
Sure. Nice to connect with you guys. So my background is in renewable energies. So I moved to South Africa in 2010 and moved there to undertake a business degree and realized that the weather was a little warmer in South Africa than it is in Canada. They've got a massive energy crisis that is still ongoing in South Africa. And I saw an opportunity to provide renewable energy solutions and energy efficiency solutions, got into the renewable space that way, and spent the better part of 9 years in South Africa with that business, and moved back to Toronto in 2019. And have been consulting with First Green Energy since then. I think what the main crux of what we want to be talking about today is this nascent concept of agrivoltaics. And I always say it's an annoyingly technical sounding term for something that is a very, very simple concept, which is just combining solar panels with agriculture. So instead of what used to happen, which is where solar and agriculture would compete and you would have land use conflicts because of it, because solar was taking farmland out of production. We've now come to a point in the cost curve of solar where the solar panels, which used to be the most expensive part of any solar installation, the cost curve has come down to the point where we can put solar panels on the sides of buildings. We can design them in different ways to allow for agriculture and solar harvesting the sun to coexist. There's actually a lot of symbiotic relationships where it's beneficial for the agriculture and it's beneficial for the solar panel. Solar panels actually like to be cooler, so having vegetation beneath them is beneficial from an efficiency standpoint for the solar panel. And there are a lot of benefits with certain crops that have some shading during high heat days and increasingly preventing crop burn, preventing hail damage. And then what we're here to talk about today is the most obvious, the first agrivoltaics synergy was really with sheep grazing. There needs to be a vegetation management plan with any solar farm. And rather than having a gas-powered lawnmower that is expensive and dirty, why not have a much more natural and actually it's a better system? We're increasingly finding out that using sheep, they can do things that you can't do with a trimmer or an existing lawnmower. So that's, I think, the crux of what we're here to talk about today.
So you've talked a little bit about the solar grazing. What about Agrivoltaics Canada? Can you tell us a little bit about that organization and how you're involved?
Yeah. So Agrivoltaics Canada is a not-for-profit industry body that is there to educate the Canadian market and eventually start pushing for policy, explain to folks in government and explain to the public at large that this is a nascent but fast-growing movement that reduces land use conflicts and improves land efficiency. And we're seeing it, like a lot of these things, you know, the more progressive countries in Europe, so Italy, France, Germany, we're seeing bipartisan support for agrivoltaics in the United States, which is, you can't get bipartisan support for anything in the U.S., as we all know. As I said at the conference, no one puts the fun back in dysfunction like the U.S. government. And they're getting bipartisan support for this in the U.S. It just makes sense. And so our job at Agrivoltaics Canada is to explain that this makes sense, to showcase case studies from where this is working around the world, and explain to politicians that, you know, this is something that is about food security. It's about the energy transition, that there is social palatability with agrivoltaics, that that people are generally in favor of this. People don't want gas plants in their backyard. They don't want nuclear in their backyard anymore. And in Ontario, we have huge, huge population growth, and as a result, energy demand needs. We've got two massive EV plants that are going to be placed in southwestern Ontario, and we need more energy generation in some fashion. And we believe that agrivoltaics is a way to diversify income for farmers. So keep smaller family farmers farming by diversifying their income. It's a way for new farmers, immigrant farmers who can't afford the land prices to get paid to farm land, to put sheep on a solar farm. And we saw that we had our, Aaron was a panelist at our Agrivoltaics Canada conference. Thank you for that. And we had a sold out show, and we had some presenters. So a gentleman, Rafael Lara from Brazil, who in Brazil, it's all large scale commercial farms. And he wanted to be a farmer, couldn't afford to be a farmer there, came to Canada, and through just discovering that he could be this vegetation management person with sheep farming, was able to get land for free, and has this, you know, fast growing business because he's able to offer this service that is needed. So he's the proof in the pudding that someone that is super excited about this and showing that it's working.
That's really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about just solar power in general and the opportunity in Ontario? Can you sort of take us to the beginning and explain for us what is the opportunity for solar in Ontario? Is that the type of energy that people are interested in, that government's interested in? And just sort of tell us the story of the energy transition that we're in the middle of.
Yeah, Ontario is kind of an interesting case study. Ontario did not have the way the solar market was created, and this is dating back to 2009, there was a feed-in tariff that was created to stimulate the market. So there was a very high premium placed on solar power, which I would argue overstimulated the market and created the issue we're in now, which Agrivoltaics Canada is trying to correct for. So what happened is, because you could fetch such a huge premium putting solar, it makes logical sense that solar would compete with farmland, because it's often flat land where it's sunny. It's the land is cleared, so it makes logical sense that you would have conflict there. And because the government at that time over incentivized the solar market, farms were being taken out of production. And as I referred to at the beginning, the solar panel was the most expensive part of any solar installation at that time back then, because the industry, they just didn't have the economy of scale at that time. And so you had southwestern Ontario getting paved over by solar panels. And understandably, you had a backlash against that, which makes total sense. And there, since I think about 2015, I might not be perfectly, but around 2015, There's been a moratorium on putting any solar panels on premium farmland, so class 1 through 3 farmland. And we at AgriVoltaics Canada, we totally understand the reasons for that. Food security is paramount. And you know, we've seen the need through COVID for, you know, nearshoring and having our own Canadian food production system that is functional. But what has changed since that policy was put in place is that the cost of the solar panel has come down so much that we can afford to now install these things on farms in a more spaced out. We can put them at higher elevations. We can space them out further and allow for this dual use. So having solar and agriculture, in other words, not taking the farms out of production. And we're seeing case studies where we're actually seeing improved crop yields. Certainly the sheep case in Texas, there's lots of information on the American Solar Grazing Association website for those who want to dig a little deeper. They've got a great resource it's called Solar Grazing. In Texas, you have, everything is bigger in Texas, of course, and you have enormous solar farms because solar now outcompetes oil and gas, and you have these huge, huge ranches, and you have these sheep farmers that are going to the asset owners of these solar farms and saying, what are you paying, you know, Joe Mower to be the vegetation management for your solar farm? And they're saying, I can do it for less. And they're getting paid. They're getting contracted to do the vegetation management for these massive solar farms. And now the issue that we're getting into is there just aren't enough sheep. Like, they can't grow fast enough. So I guess one of these nice problems to have, but like, it's a totally different paradigm that we're in now than what we were in when the solar industry started. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It was 13 years ago. And we understand the reasons for the moratorium on building on farmland in Ontario, but we just think there's a better mousetrap now. We need to explain to government that you can have your cake and eat it too. You can have food security. You can diversify the economic opportunity for farmers. So preserve the family farm and improve their margins, have the energy transition, and it's more socially palatable. People are more in favor of this. It ticks so many boxes.
Well, and that's a great summary, and certainly brings back memories for me of a past life. And I would agree with you, more sheep, and sheep will certainly save the day. We keep saying that. We know that economically, grazing sheep offers farms dual land use and for energy and agricultural, boosting opportunities and revenues while preserving agricultural productivity. But can you maybe speak about some of the opportunities that exist for sheep farmers in Ontario?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, I think there's opportunities for younger farmers who perhaps don't have the capital to purchase land to get a start. I think there's opportunities for the smaller farms that don't have scale to have economic diversification, continue to farm, continue their family farm legacy, and just have a new revenue stream that is steady and predictable for 20 plus years. There are huge power needs in Ontario, and in particular, it's needed in Southern Ontario, all over, but you know, there's a lot of demand in Southwestern Ontario with these new electric vehicle plants that are going to be brought online, the Stellantis and Volkswagen plants. So that needs to be satisfied somehow. And that's an opportunity for people that want to cash in. We see agrivoltaics as a great means to do just that.
Amazing. When it comes to like some specifics of grazing on a solar farm, are there any concerns at all with the wiring, the infrastructure, and having animals on that property? What is the relationship between the farmer and the equipment and the animals?
There's definitely concerns about animals generally, but sheep tend to be just the best suited. That's from the data that so cows are just big. They like to rub against equipment. And because of their size, they will knock that infrastructure over or damage it. You know, there's been people who've tried with goats. They like jumping on the solar panels. Sheep just are naturally the best suited animal. Are there zero problems? No, there's never zero problems with anything, but they're pretty minimal and pretty manageable. And what I would say, I am not the expert from a farming standpoint, but there are a lot of resources. I mentioned the American Solar Grazing Association website. There is a lot of information on that. We've got folks, and we're going to increasingly through Agrivoltaics Canada organize those folks and host our own webinars. I want to have my own fancy microphone like you have, Aaron, and get ourselves organized to a point where we can be sharing information on best practices. But there have been folks, Lindsay Smith and Chris Moore in Arnprior, Ontario, just outside of Ottawa, have been doing this and are super passionate. They've been doing this for a while. Rafael Lara, who was at our conference speaking, has been doing this for some time now. So there's a fair amount of information. It takes work, but it's very doable.
So here's a $1 million question. How do sheep farmers work with solar companies? And I guess it's a two-part question. Do solar companies have experience with the needs of sheep on site when it comes to nutrition, water, and other concerns like predation and parasites?
No, I mean, I think they're getting there. But I think some companies are getting there. But no, that's not their core expertise. That's the farmer's expertise. So at Agrivoltaics Canada, what we're understanding, there's two ways to go about this, right? You can either retrofit an existing, let's call it an existing solar farm, and try and accommodate sheep. Or what we're hoping is that so Ontario has just announced these huge calls for power. And what we're hoping is that with, let's call them new builds instead of retrofitting, that the solar developer and the sheep farmer will work together in the building of this new farm to optimize for both and make the farmer's life easier and make the solar developer's life easier, quite frankly. And, you know, talking to the ranchers in Texas, I mean, they have huge water issues. One of their biggest issues is just pumping water because they're retrofitting. A lot of these solar farms were created and then the solar grazing came after. So these guys are having to hump water in on these massive Texas size ranches. And it's a full-time job, just like getting the water in. So what they would prefer is if there was irrigation or, you know, some water optimization that was designed up front. And, you know, there's other issues that, again, if you were designing these things, from scratch, you could better design to co-optimize for both the farming and the solar. And that's where we're trying to take things. But this is all kind of newish stuff, right? Like solar grazing has been happening, I guess, it's been happening in Ontario for 8 years, but like with a handful of people that were pioneers and just brave and did it and realized, oh my goodness, this actually works. I can't believe it. So we're now in the phase where it's like, oh my goodness, this works. How do we make this work better? How do we optimize? How do we share information? How do we create a community? Which I'm so thankful, Aaron and Tom, for you guys. I think I think there's a warm relationship between our two organizations. I think there's so very much appreciate you guys hosting me on this podcast, and I'm more excited about the work that we will continue to do into the future. So thank you for that.
What a great way to end it. Thank you very much, Patrick. It's great to talk to you today. And yeah, Tom and I are both really excited about the future and the opportunity of working with AgriVoltaics Canada. And we really do see this as an opportunity for growth of our industry and growth of yours. And I look forward to the future. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Me too.
Absolutely. And thank you, Patrick, for taking the time today to share your business and story with us.
Of course. Take care.
You too. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode on grazing. Join us next Wednesday for our next research interview.
Hey, Aaron. So what else is going on at OSF?
Ontario Sheep Farmers is part of a large project with Ontario Soil and Crop Improvement Association and many other commodities and agricultural organizations. And the project is called the Living Labs. It aims to bring together producers and scientists to co-develop and implement research trials aimed at addressing climate change challenges on farms. The project will create opportunities for knowledge exchange between producers, producer associations, researchers, and other stakeholders by testing, monitoring, and evaluating practices in a real-life context on farms. So OSF is particularly interested in the grazing part of the project, which will be led by Kim Schneider. And the goals of that project are to determine the effect of grazing intensity on total pasture yield over the season, forage quality, and soil carbon sequestration indicators, and to determine the effect of grazing cover crops on subsequent corn yield and soil health parameters. So we're selecting the farm partners for the research now, and the work will begin in early 2024. The project will run until 2028, and we look forward to sharing the results throughout the project with our members.
Ontario Sheep Farmers recently started Flock Talk Podcast that you're listening to, a weekly podcast series bringing you ideas and insights from fellow producers, industry experts covering research, marketing, education, news, updates, and more. This podcast comes out every Wednesday, and the creation of this came from the 2021 OSF Crossroads Challenge to better connect with Ontario sheep farmers and bring industry news and discussion. If you have any suggestions for topics, email me at tlewis@ontariosheep.org or Aaron Morgan at emorgan@ontariosheep.org. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through the podcast app to receive alerts to future episodes, and please share this podcast with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, and Ontario Sheep on X, formerly Twitter, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.